Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, football fans? Kevin Smith with you for another episode of The Call Sheet. This is The Call Sheet Free Agent Frenzy Edition. As we look at the first 3-4 days of the free agency period, and we're really going to focus in on what all these teams are doing, who made some of the best moves, some maybe some questionable moves, talk about a little bit of the history of free agency, and we'll get right into that. I usually take the first couple of minutes of each episode and talk about a player who wore the number of the episode. This is episode 48. I'll be honest, man. I don't have anybody that jumps out at me at a number 48, with apologies to Steven Davis, who was a pretty good running back for Washington and Carolina last decade. There aren't any real distinguishable 48s. And I actually thought about profiling Super Bowl 48. I said, maybe we'll dive into a Super Bowl and we'll look at Super Bowl 48. But that was a clunker. The Seattle Seahawks absolutely mauled the Denver Broncos 43-8 in that Super Bowl. So, with all due respect to the number 48, we're skipping you. We're going right to the free agency stuff because that's really what's dominating the conversation. Free agency to me is a fascinating time. It's an opportunity where teams they can greatly improve their franchise. They can really set themselves back with a bad free agency pick, putting a lot of money towards a guy who doesn't pan out. So let's start the show by doing this. Let's talk about some of the best and worst free agent signings of all time. All right, let's start with the best ones. I'm going to do a top five list, best and worst. We'll start with the best ones. I'll throw some honorable mentions out, some guys who maybe don't make our top five list here, but who are really good free agent signings nonetheless. All right, you get Priest Holmes. I think Priest Holmes is a guy who is worthy of being mentioned in this conversation because he was a guy who was kind of a backup in Baltimore in the first few years of his career before he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2003. And then he went on to become a three-time All-Pro. I mean, the Chiefs really found a great use for him as a hybrid back. He was one of those guys in the early stages of the NFL who was really good catching the ball out of the backfield. He went on to score 27 touchdowns in a season, a then record, and earn, again, man, multiple All-Pro status. So Priest Holmes, man, guy I think gets forgotten a little bit, but was a really, really good hybrid back in the early 2000s. Go back a little bit further, you get Mike Vrabel, man. Most people remember Mike Vrabel with the New England Patriots, but they forget he started out as a draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Ohio State, was kind of a situational player in Pittsburgh on some of their playoff teams in the mid-90s, but really never cracked the starting lineup. And then he hit free agency, went to New England, and Bill Belichick, like he so often does, found a really good role for Mike Vrabel. Vrabel went on to be a part of some of those early Patriots Super Bowl teams and obviously has become a successful head coach in the NFL. Top five list, though, man. Let's focus in on the five best. What do we think maybe our five best signings of the free agency era have been? We'll start with Deion Sanders. I mean, Deion's a great place to start. Deion Sanders was originally an Atlanta Falcon, but he left Atlanta for San Francisco in free agency in 1994. Just signed a one-year deal with the 49ers, but he immediately helped them to win a Super Bowl. And he did the very same thing the next year. One-year deal in San Fran, hits free agency again, and in 95, he signs with the Dallas Cowboys, and they go on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, Deion stayed in Dallas for a few years, but still, it's incredible, man. Sign Deion in free agency, you win the Super Bowl, and that happened back-to-back years. Great free agent signing for one of the best corners to ever play the game. Number four, man, Charles Woodson, who I think people, you know, obviously associate him with a lot of success in Green Bay. But before that, he was a little bit of a disgruntled and kind of underproductive player in Oakland, where the Raiders had drafted him. Had a couple seasons where, you know, he's dinged up with injuries, and then he had some disputes with management. Wound up leaving in free agency and went to Green Bay, and his career just took off there. Ended up being the defensive player of the year in Green Bay and an eventual Super Bowl champ, and was eventually elected to the Hall of Fame. So Charles Woodson, the last defensive player, by the way, to win the Heisman Trophy, which he did back in 1997, hits free agency, transforms his career, becomes a Hall of Famer. Number three, Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner, man, his free agency was really his second comeback. His first comeback was kind of like he went from grocery store clerk to Super Bowl winner in St. Louis. I think people remember that part of his story. But then he kind of had a second act. After St. Louis, he went to New York. It was kind of a backup with the Giants. It looked like his career was over. And then he hit free agency and went to the Arizona Cardinals. And from 2005 to 2009, threw 100 touchdown passes in Arizona, led them to a Super Bowl appearance, almost a Super Bowl win. Only that late throw from Ben Roethlisberger to San Antonio Holmes, that almost miracle throw, kept Warner from being a Super Bowl winner in Arizona as well. Man, he was really just kind of like the high water mark of that franchise was when Kurt Warner was in Arizona. So he goes from, again, backup in New York to almost a Super Bowl champ in Arizona and another Hall of Fame player. Number two on the list, Drew Brees. Drew Brees, I mean, it's rare that a team can find a long-term franchise quarterback in free agency. Brees might be the exception. There's not another quarterback on this list who went from one franchise, Drew Brees, drafted by the San Diego Chargers, gets injured, right? I mean, he really was kind of allowed to go to free agency because of a shoulder injury that a torn labrum in 2005 that many people thought might just derail his entire career. And, you know, the Chargers were ready to move on. They actually drafted Philip Rivers as his replacement. And so, you know, New Orleans' decision there winds up being New Orleans' gain. They sign Brees in free agency. He kind of helped rebuild the morale of the city after Hurricane Katrina, and then he brought them their Super Bowl in 2009. 7 years, he winds up being in New Orleans, throws for 34,000 yards, 240-some touchdowns, 6 Pro Bowls, 2 Offensive Player of the Year awards, and that Super Bowl title. Hard to ask for more than what Drew Brees gave to the New Orleans Saints. But the number one guy on our list, the top of our list, best free agent signing of all time, the minister of defense, Reggie White, probably the first big-time free agent in NFL history, way back in 1993 when he left the Eagles to sign a $17 million deal, which was a big deal at the time in 1993 with the Green Bay Packers. And over 6 years in Green Bay, White wound up registering almost 70 sacks, 2 NFC championships, a Super Bowl win for that franchise, their first since the Vince Lombardi era. And he really kind of cemented his status as one of the greatest players of all time in the NFL. I mean, it's incredible when you think about it. From the time Green Bay won their first 2 Super Bowls in Super Bowl 1 and 2 to the time that they signed Reggie White, they had just 6 winning seasons and 1 playoff win. So the combination of acquiring Brett Favre through a trade with Atlanta and signing White in free agency was the catalyst to resurrecting that Green Bay franchise. All right, so Reggie White, number one on our list. Look at that top 5 list again. Deion Sanders, Charles Woodson, Kurt Warner, Drew Brees, Reggie White, all Hall of Famers, all guys who helped their new franchise transcend to a new level of greatness. All of them reached the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl. What's on the other end of this list? What's our 5 worst? Our 5 worst free agency signings of all time. I mean, again, you got some honorable mentions in there. Neil O'Donnell going from Pittsburgh to the Jets, where on a big money contract, where the Jets go 1-15 in his first year, and O'Donnell's released 2 years later. And then Larry Brown, who jokingly was O'Donnell's favorite receiver in Super Bowl 30, even though O'Donnell was playing for the Steelers and Larry Brown was a corner for the Dallas Cowboys. O'Donnell threw two picks right to Larry Brown. That earned Brown a big deal in Oakland. He lasted 2 years there. Antonio Brown going from Pittsburgh to New England. That was the beginning of the end of his career. His career unraveled after that. Sam Bradford, the quarterback, went to the Arizona Cardinals in 2018. They gave him $15 million for 1 year. He played three games at quarterback for Arizona. So there are some notable misses, no doubt. But here are our top five worst free agent signings. Number five, Le'Veon Bell, going from the Steelers to the Jets in 2019. He got a four-year, $52 million deal with the Jets after sitting out the entire 2018 season on a contract dispute. He bet on himself, and he bet wrong. Never really made it in New York, kind of bounced around Kansas City, Baltimore. And Le'Veon Bell talked about that being a huge mistake. He said he never should have left the Steelers, and he was right. He was never the same after that. Number four, Nnamdi Asamoah, cornerback of the Raiders, all-pro guy coming off of three straight Pro Bowl seasons, leaves Oakland to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2011. They give him a five-year, $60 million deal. Biggest deal in the history of defensive backs at that time. The Eagles in 2011, man, they were pulling in free agents right and left. Backup quarterback Vince Young deemed them the dream team. A lot of people wound up making fun of that when the Eagles flamed out and Asamoah never turned out to be the player Philly thought he was. The Eagles went 12-20 in his two seasons, and Philadelphia then released him after 2012. So from the dream team to a cut, the Asamoah signing, not very good. Neither was the Nick Foles signing in Jacksonville in 2019. So Foles, who was the Super Bowl hero for the Eagles in that big upset win over Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, parlayed that into a big deal, man. 4 years and $91 million, which included a then record $50 million in guarantees. But he broke his collarbone. He didn't play well. And then the mustache, man, Gardner Minshew, kind of outfolded Nick Foles, right? Nick Foles, kind of when Carson Wentz got hurt in Philly, stepped in and he kind of paved the way for Wentz to leave town. And the same thing then happened to Foles in Jacksonville when Gardner Minshew emerged. And so Foles was out. There's another guy, man, that makes our top five list. Number two, Adam Archuleta, man. People forget how good Adam Archuleta was at safety for the Indianapolis Colts. He was an all-pro guy, generally regarded as the best safety in the NFL. And then in 2006, Washington made him the highest paid safety in NFL history. They gave him a six-year, $30 million deal. Archuleta was so bad in Washington that he started just seven games for the then Redskins franchise before he got traded to the Bears. And his career, again, never the same. So, again, another guy who leaves his original franchise on a big money deal. That's a big Dan Snyder era deal right there, right? Shelling out more money to Archuleta than any safety in history, and they got seven games out of him. But the number one all-time worst free agent signing is another Dan Snyder special, Albert Haynesworth, the two-time All-Pro, the Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL in 2008, parlays that into a seven-year, $100 million contract with the Redskins. But, man, they came to regret that one almost immediately. Haynesworth publicly feuded with the coaching staff, got into some legal trouble. It was a disaster. Huge lack of production there. He lasts less than two seasons in Washington before they traded him to the Patriots. The combination of the money, the lack of production, the feuding, the bad publicity, wrap all that together. Albert Haynesworth got to go down as the worst free agent signing in the free agent history era. Okay, so That brings us to this year, right? Who among this year's free agent class might join this list one way or another? I mean, really only time will tell, but for now, let's look at the most significant move that each of the 32 teams have made 3 days into free agency, right? So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to do a quick run through the league. What's the biggest signing or the most impactful or important signing each team has made so far? And then at the very end, we'll talk about who we really like and who we don't with 3 days down in the free agency period. So come on back after the break. All right, everybody, Kevin Smith back with you on the call sheet. Hey, man, before I proceed, I'm going to be a little selfish here. Give a little shout out to my son's fifth, sixth grade basketball team, which won their league championship. And I coached them with Ken Wisniewski, the CEO of the Fans First Sports Network. His son, Anderson, is on the team. So Aiden and Anderson, congratulations. Coach Ken, thank you, one, first and foremost, for launching FFSN and giving us all the opportunity to talk about this stuff. And second of all, man, it was a blast coaching with you. And it was awesome for us to be able to celebrate our kids winning a championship together. That was a lot of fun. So on to free agency. Hey, man, there's a lot of teams that are hoping that some of the things that they've done over the last couple of days will help them win a championship. So let's dive right in. What's the most impactful free agent signing that every team has made so far? Let's start in the AFC East, where the Bills re-upped one of their own, man. They re-upped with offensive tackle Deion Dawkins. That's a key piece of their offensive line. They keep him on a three-year, $60 million deal. Down in Miami, I mean, they lost some significant guys, but they brought in Shaq Barrett on a one-year deal to be an edge rusher. He still got some good football left in him. New England's made a flurry of signings, man. I mean, the Patriots are really kind of trying to provide some weapons on the offensive side of the ball, probably to whomever they take at number three in the draft at quarterback. Antonio Gibson and Kendrick Bourne, a couple of tight ends, Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. But I think it's Josh Uche, the edge rusher, that's been the biggest signing for them so far, man. He's still a very good player, and that'll give some juice to their pass rush. And then you have the Jets, who acquired Morgan Moses, the offensive tackle from Baltimore, in a trade and signed John Simpson to try to upgrade that offensive line in preparation for Aaron Rodgers, if he isn't the vice president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you may have heard that news that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is considering Aaron Rodgers as his vice presidential candidate, as if America hasn't already jumped the shark, ladies and gentlemen. But still, I digress. The Jets looking for some offensive line help, maybe to benefit Aaron Rodgers. All right, on to the north, where the Ravens have signed Derrick Henry. My goodness, that may wind up turning out to be the free agent signing of this entire period. I'm not 100% sold that Henry is going to be as good in an 11 personnel spread offense as he was with all those big bodies in Tennessee. But if he is, man, that offense is going to be scary. In Cincinnati, I mean, they've lost some pieces too, but they kind of made a running back swap. They let go of Joe Mixon, but they brought in Zach Moss from Indianapolis. Big safety signing for them, getting Geno Stone. That'll help their depleted back end. They were never really able to replace Jesse Bates last year, so they're hoping Geno Stone can do that. Cleveland hasn't made many big signings, but they bring in Jameis Winston. The Jameis Winston, Deshaun Watson quarterback room will not be boring there in Cleveland. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have swung big in the first few days of free agency. Russell Wilson, and the signing I love is Patrick Queen, stealing him away from the rival Ravens and maybe probably the best linebacker Pittsburgh's had since they lost Ryan Shazier. All right, on to the South, man, where the Houston Texans, they are another team bringing in quality talent, right? They acquired Joe Mixon from the Bengals. They signed Dalton Schultz. Re-signed Dalton Schultz, I should say, and they bring in Danielle Hunter from the Minnesota Vikings. That's a huge signing for the Texans. Indianapolis re-ups with Michael Pittman, and they re-up with Kenny Moore, so they're keeping some of their own there. The Jaguars bring in Gabe Davis from the Buffalo Bills. I've always liked him as a wide receiver. Always thought he was a little underrated there, playing in Stephon Diggs' shadow. And he'll be a nice weapon for Trevor Lawrence. And the Titans, they got a lot to rebuild, but I like their signing of Lloyd Cushenberry, Denver center. They got him on a four-year, $50 million deal. He should help anchor the middle of that line. The AFC West, right? Denver has not been real active. They do sign Brandon Jones. I think Denver's move is probably like at quarterback. Are they in the Justin Fields hunt? We may see more from Denver this free agency period, but we haven't seen much yet. The Chiefs, their big move was to re-up with Chris Jones before free agency began. That's obviously a huge move. Chris Jones, talk about a dude who bet on himself. He winds up with a five-year, $158 million deal with $101 million in guarantees for a guy who sat out half of last year. He certainly parlayed that into a heck of a contract. The Raiders with some big signings. Christian Wilkins is the showstopper there. He gets $110 million to pair up with Max Crosby, and they're going to put a ton of pressure on opposing offenses. They're going to be able to get after the passer. That's for darn sure. And they signed Gardner Minshew to compete for that starting quarterback job there. And the Chargers, not a lot of big news there yet for Jim Harbaugh, but they do bring in Gus Edwards from Baltimore. He's kind of that power back that Harbaugh likes in his offense. So some good signings in the AFC so far. I mean, you know, I think that I'll weigh in on the teams I like so far, but man, there have been some teams that have been extremely active and will probably continue to be so as we hit the second week of free agency. All right, to the NFC. We'll start with the Giants. Big deal for Brian Burns there, man. They trade with Carolina to get him for a second and a fifth round pick, and he agrees to a new five-year deal with New York. And that'll obviously, again, talk about juicing the pass rush, man. He'll definitely juice that up. The Eagles bring in Saquon Barkley. I think that's a great fit in Philly. As a receiver out of the backfield, new offense coordinator Kellen Moore really likes to throw the ball to the backs. And Barkley is perfectly suited there. The Dallas Cowboys have signed a long snapper, Trent Sieg. And that's it so far in free agency. So, you know, Dallas, not a lot of cap space and not a lot of activity as a result. And the opposite of Dallas are the Washington Commanders, who, man, they have been on a signing frenzy. Marcus Mariota, Austin Eckler, Tyler Biadasz, Frankie LeVou, and Jeremy Chinn, man, those are some quality players. Got to like what Washington is doing in free agency so far. In the North, right, the Bears, their big signing, DeAndre Swift, right, they grabbed the running back from the Eagles. The Detroit Lions, if we back up to the Bears, though, they still have not moved Fields. I'll be fascinated to see what happens there. Where's this market now, man? Is it New England? Is it Denver? Is it Seattle? A lot of the teams that you thought were going to act on Fields have already made moves in the quarterback market. So that's one of the more fascinating elements of free agency still out there. The Lions, man, Graham Glasgow, the offensive guard who they brought in, that was a good signing for them, considering the fact, you know, that they lost Jonah Jackson. So, you know, they'll plug that hole. The Packers, really got to like Josh Jacobs going to Green Bay to replace the departed Aaron Jones. And the Minnesota Vikings, man, another team really, really active. The aforementioned Jones goes to the division rival, man, as the Vikings take him away from Green Bay. They signed Sam Darnold to kind of be their bridge quarterback to whomever is next. Jonathan Greenard, the edge rusher, is going to be a nice replacement for Danielle Hunter. They double down on the edge with Andrew Van Ginkle, and they sign, I think, the vastly underrated Blake Cashman, linebacker from the Texans. So I think, man, a lot of good stuff going on in Minnesota so far in free agency. All right, NFC South. The Falcons made a ton of headlines with the Kirk Cousins signing. That's obviously, you know, been something that has drawn a lot of attention and will continue to do so. The Panthers have been surprisingly active for a team that was one of the worst in the NFL. They give a $100 million deal to guard Robert Hunt, right? Create some security there for Bryce Young. They trade with the Steelers to acquire the talented but temperamental Deontay Johnson. So if Johnson can give them good effort, which he sometimes lacked in Pittsburgh, that could be a really nice signing to help Bryce Young. So some moves there by the Panthers to help their young quarterback. You have the New Orleans Saints signing Willie Gay Jr., the linebacker from Kansas City. He gets a one-year deal there. And then Tampa Bay pretty much re-upping all their own guys. You know, look who Tampa Bay. They've re-signed Baker Mayfield. They've re-signed Mike Evans. Re-signed Lavonte David. Antoine Winfield. Even kicker Chase McLaughlin. I mean, so Tampa Bay bringing back the crew that won the AFC or NFC South last year, hoping obviously for a repeat. To the NFC West, our final division. Arizona, again, not much action going on there, but they did sign Sean Murphy Bunting. Good cornerback, solid cornerback there to help with their pass defense. The Rams really trying to fortify the offensive line. They re-signed Kevin Dotson, who had a fine season for them last year, and then they add Jonah Jackson, the talented guard from the Lions. So they're really trying to, again, build the front there on offense. The 49ers, right, they're really, man, they continue to invest in that defensive line. Leonard Floyd, Yatir Gross-Matos, just, again, it just feels like that's a deep, deep group. Supposedly, they're going to move on from Arik Armstead, so that'll take a hit, but they've certainly offset that with some of their signings. And then the Seahawks, they're also into the re-signing market, re-signing tight end Noah Fant, re-signing Leonard Williams, who they acquired last year from the Jets. And you got to wonder, man, is Seattle going to be a player, right, with Geno Smith aging? Is Seattle going to be a player for Justin Fields? Okay, so that's really the most impactful signing from every team. Let's wrap it up here by talking about the teams who so far may be doing the best and some teams that, you know, you might have to ask some questions about, right? So the best start to free agency. Well, the team I think I like the best is the Minnesota Vikings. I really think the Vikings, this will make my colleague Dave Stefano happy. I know that he and I were texting a little bit, and he likes what they've done so far. Darnold is not going to be your long-term starter, but as a guy who can probably hold down the fort to whomever Minnesota takes in the draft, and Dave really thinks that they'll trade up to try to get into the market for either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. You got to figure, hey, if Darnold can play 500 football for 6-8 weeks maybe before the rookie's ready, then that's a win. Aaron Jones, man, you really like the fit there in a Kevin O'Connell offense. He's going to be able to run that wide zone stuff, catch the ball out of the backfield. And then what they did on defense with Greenard, Van Ginkel, and Cashman, huge upgrades to a defense that needed it, help offset the loss of Hunter. Done some really good things there in Minnesota. Tampa Bay, you got to like the re-signings. Not letting that core slip away. That's the NFC South. I mean, the other teams in the South are making some good moves too and improving. But Tampa Bay now figures, hey, we can run it back and win this division again. And they might be right about that. I like the Commanders. You know, I think the Commanders have been aggressive. They got a lot of money, a lot of cap space, and they're using it. You know, again, Mariota, probably not the long-term starter there, right? But a veteran that can at least provide him a little bit of depth. But I love Austin Eckler in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. Kingsbury's going to create a lot of space on the field, and you got to think Austin Eckler will take advantage of that. Frankie LeVou, the linebacker, man, he was a tackling machine in Carolina last year, and I've always loved Jeremy Chinn, diverse player who I think can fill a lot of roles there. So I like what the Commanders are doing. The Houston Texans over in the AFC, man, they've done some really good things there. They seem to be a team that feels as though they're ready to compete. The Texans, they look probably at that division kind of like the way Tampa Bay looks at theirs and says, hey, this can be our division now for a while. Re-signing Schultz, and then obviously adding Hunter to help the pass rush is a big deal. And then, as a Steelers fan, I got to tell you, I love what the Steelers are doing. I mean, I'm trying not to be too biased here, but I think Russell Wilson is going to be an upgrade at the quarterback position, at least for a year, over what they had last year there. And I love Patrick Queen. The Steelers have really been missing a sideline-to-sideline, three-down linebacker since they lost Ryan Shazier. And that's Patrick Queen. He's played 96% of the snaps, defensive snaps, in Baltimore over the last 2 years, and he's amassed amassed 250 tackles. I think Steeler fans are going to love what they get out of him. All right. So I don't want to say who's been the worst. Again, you're only 3 days in to the free agency period. It's hard to do a best and worst. Most of these teams are just hamstrung by the salary cap. Dallas has done nothing yet. Denver hasn't done much. Seattle hasn't done much. Those are the three teams where you look at them and you say, like, all right, well, what's going on there? Well, I think Denver and Seattle may be in the Justin Fields trade market, so that could change the narrative about them. And the Cowboys are freeing up money, man. They got to free up money. They got to decide on the big contract extension for Dak Prescott if they're going to do that. So, you know, there's probably more moves forthcoming from those teams. So in lieu of calling them the worst teams in free agency, let's just say that they're teams where we kind of have to wait and see what their moves are going to be. So it's fascinating as always, man. I can't wait to see what goes on in week two. Week two is usually a very active week as well, I should say, without being redundant, because you get like those second level free agents. That's where teams can find a lot of depth or a lot of veterans maybe on lower salaries. You can make a lot of good signings in week two. And then beyond that, it's the focus gets on the draft. So the NFL never sleeps, ladies and gentlemen. And we're seeing a great example of that. All right, man. This has been episode 48 of the Call Sheet, Free Agent Frenzy Edition. Enjoy talking to everybody about all this stuff. Check out the video breakdowns I've been doing on the FFSN YouTube channel or the Steel Curtain Network YouTube channel for you Steelers fans. We got ones up of Russell Wilson, Patrick Queen, Kirk Cousins, lots of stuff going on there. So check all that out when you get a chance. Otherwise, have a great week, everybody. Stay safe. Take care.